You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and welcome to a Victory Sunday, potentially a Sunday fun day for the boys. I am here at the Ramada Hotel Inn Suites, Water Park, Tiki Bar, etc., with our guy, North Dakota State men's basketball analyst Nate Zastro, live and in person. Nate, it's more fun to cover the games in person, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an interesting atmosphere. I've never been to the Denny. We always played at the old arena, but what an atmosphere. And it was a little nerve-wracking last night a little bit for the first 28 minutes, I'd say. But it sure was fun when NDSU put that run together. Good to be back, seeing Bison fans here, some old faces, and hopefully we can keep it rolling Monday night.
Yeah, describe kind of the environment in the arena for those NDSU fans that haven't had a chance. Because here's what I'll say, and I quote tweeted on the Reaching the Summit podcast because they were kind of talking a little noise about how much more South Dakota State fans show up than NDSU fans. And while I wish NDSU had a better following down here, unfortunately, it's a Saturday to Tuesday thing. It's tough. And it comes not that long after a lot of people have taken a week off to go to Frisco, Texas. But the other thing I said is, okay, put the tournament in Hillsboro. Like, Sioux Falls is on the other side of Brookings.
Yeah, and it's a half-hour drive.
It's a half-hour drive. So I said, put the tournament in Hillsboro and see how many Jackrabbit fans show up. But it is an elite, in my opinion, setup, especially for a mid-major league like the Summit.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you think of an NBA arena. You got the second and third deck. You got some sports bars on the second level. Yeah. You got some more stuff.
Really cool above. VIP area.
Yeah, you got suite areas and the bottom sections. I mean, there's not really a bad seat in that first section. And it was packed last night. You had South Dakota State fans sticking around after their game, and NDSU had their little core of fans, and it gets loud. And I can imagine, I mean, when we used to play South Dakota State, they packed that other arena. And
yeah,
every time they scored a couple baskets, that place was standing up and it was loud, and I'm sure it'll get loud in here too.
Well, it's been an interesting dynamic, you know, because they keep losing so early.
Yeah,
in this tournament, so you get like sad South Dakota State fans that have too much to drink, or they'll just leave, and you'll get empty seats. You'll get people piling in. I mean, the Summit League tournament, look, no way, either one way or the other, South Dakota State tournament or the South Dakota State tournament. That was Freudian. The Summit League tournament is better when South Dakota State doesn't lose early and when those people are still around, as obnoxious as they may be. It's still a better tournament when those folks are around. North Dakota State winning by a score of 82-62. Sam was very good moving the ball around. Tyree was electric, and Rocky Cruiser was somehow a quiet 22 points and 6 rebounds. Very impressive. Let's bring on, though, for a brief guest spot here, KVRR's very own Nick Cousin. Nick, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's great to be down in Sioux Falls.
What were your main takeaways from last night's game? I know that's kind of NDSU's modus operandi, is to make you sweat a little bit. Seemed for a portion of the second half that it might be a short trip down to Sioux Falls. But what were your main takeaways from last night's win over Denver?
Tyree Edey. I mean, he was electric last night. Once he got going there in the second half, starting that 22-0 run that NDSU had, it was, you could just tell like that the energy was going to shift for the team. And Grant Nelson talked about Edey last night and how much he's meant to the team and the leadership he's brought, and that really put a fire in the team as well. And you could tell he was chirping all game with Denver players and even the SDSU fans. And Ross, you mentioned them. There was one guy who kept saying Tyree the whole game. So
had nothing else to offer.
So you could tell. You could just tell the team was, you know, down the stretch. It was really the seniors and the veteran players that kind of led them into the victory.
It was. And I think Homie had probably been served since about 1 p.m., so good for him. But that was one other guy, he was in, like, one of those cinch horse-riding jackets, and he goes, "Greasel, you're greasy," and then chuckles to himself and sat back down. And I just looked over there like, did that really just happen? But, look, like I said, late in the evening, people been enjoying themselves all day. Not going to rag on the South Dakota State people too much. Nate, how about you, man? What did you see from this team? What did you see kind of top to bottom as things that maybe they need to work on a little bit? But ultimately, look, man, they're 9-point favorites and they win by 20. You have to look at the end result like a success, I think.
Yeah, and the regular season is a different. You can't look at the regular season and think that the same thing's going to happen in the postseason. It's a different brand of basketball, and Denver's coming in with nothing to lose. All the pressure's on NDSU to win that game, and I thought NDSU defended pretty well. Denver was hitting some tough shots, and I talked to you throughout the game in the first half. Like, Denver can't keep hitting these shots if they're going to be successful in this game. And NDSU, I don't think they really changed much defensively when they made their run. They kept defending and forcing them into bad shots, and Denver eventually started missing. I know they still shot, I believe, in the high 40s for the game, but
yeah,
NDSU forced some misses, and it led to some momentum offensively, and I know people think when you go on a 22-0 run, you made some big adjustment, and I don't think NDSU really made any big adjustment. They just kept defending how they defend, and eventually they were kind of banking on Denver to miss those tough shots, and they did.
Nick, you've been around Horizon League basketball. You've been around Upper Midwest, mid-major basketball. Let's get your take on the Denny Sanford Premier Center, City of Sioux Falls. I know we weren't thrilled that it was snowstorming yesterday, but just kind of this as a venue and as a setup for a mid-major tournament, I'm very impressed.
Well, especially because the last 2 years, what, it was like 70 degrees down here?
I played golf last year.
So, yeah, I mean, I really like it. I mean, you feel like kind of what Nate was saying. You kind of feel like you're in an NBA arena because you got the second and third tiers, and all the fans are pretty close, like, those Tyree SDSU fans are right behind us, yeah. right where the media was sitting, so you could hear them, and obviously the players can hear them because we're right on top of the players as well. So I think with just how like intimate of a setting it is, it makes it great for basketball, especially when that place is packed up. Obviously, it wasn't completely packed last night,
but right.
If you have a lot of SDSU fans, NDSU fans in there, like if that ends up being the championship game, I think that's going to be a packed arena in there.
I think it will too. And that's kind of what always makes me a little bit sad, right, is I wish there were 1,500 Bison fans in there instead of 300, because how cool would that the Rocky Cruiser missed three offensive rebound and one scream been? Like, how cool would have the Tyree...
Or the Greasel dunk.
The Greasel dunk. Yeah. The Tyree take a charge in the middle, when he took that charge... No, forced a moving screen. Didn't take a charge, forced a moving screen because of how well he was on ball defending. And then ultimately, the Tyree and one, which I mentioned to someone at the scores table that we were by, I said, that's the fastest I've seen Tyree move with the ball in 5 years. And nothing against Tyree, but he likes to back you down, shoot that little right hook over left shoulder. He just blew by his defender, got fouled, and laid it in. He was on a different level. Let's take a time quick to pay some bills and shout out our good friends at Herd and Horns. Herd and Horns, I know they will have you guys taken care of if you can't make it to Sioux Falls. And boy, were the roads treacherous. I don't know if they've been fixed. We haven't got out of the hotel room since the win last night. I don't know if the roads have been dealt with. But if you can't make it here to Sioux Falls, and look, we would love to have you Monday night, potentially Tuesday night as well. Herd and Horns is going to have these games. They're going to put on Midco. They're going to put it on every. They're going to put it on every screen. They're going to have awesome food. They're going to have awesome drink specials, and ultimately, they're going to make it feel like a Bison meetup, and they're going to make it feel like you're there, and you're not. You know, we'd love to have you in Sioux Falls, but Herd and Horns is always the place when the Bison men's basketball team is on the road to catch the games and to, you know, kind of commune with other people that care about Bison basketball. And you need to check them out. And certainly I would suggest heading there on Monday night for sure. Our sponsor, the good folks up at Herd and Horns. Nate, talk to me about Sam Griesel, because the way that I have kind of described him, and I think it really fit last night, is he's just been whatever they need. And that's what I saw last night. He had teammates that had it going. Rocky had it going. Tyree had it going. So it wasn't necessary for him to go get 25. Talk to me about what he's been able to do over the last 2 months. And just, in my opinion, he just has such an understanding of the game of basketball that he knows what North Dakota State needs from him night in and night out, and then he just provides it.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about it the last 2 years. If we're talking about the most valuable player for NDSU, it's going to be Griesel, even though he might not be the leading scorer. He takes what the defense gives him, and last night it wasn't his scoring. He still had a little spurt there in the second half where he scored four, 6 straight. And then towards the end of the game, I mean, I think it was with 8 minutes left, I said, we got a little triple-double watch.
Yeah, triple-double watch. Yep.
9, 8, and 7 at
the
time.
He rebounds the ball so well. Yeah.
And he provides everything. He just knows what the offense needs and what he needs to do. And credit to him. He finished the game with 11, 8, and 6. He was 3 for 7 from the floor. Didn't really get a great amount of looks, but he got Rocky involved when he was scoring well. He got the ball to Tyree for a couple big buckets, and they're going to need him. I mean, we said it before previewing the tournament. He's going to play 40 minutes a night. I don't think he's really going to come out unless the game gets out of hand. He came out with, 30 seconds?
Yeah, a minute and a half left, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he played 39 last night, and Dave's not taking him out. I don't think he has anyone that he trusts as the primary ball handler to make plays, and that's what we expect from him the next 2 games, hopefully.
They're up 17 with, like, 3 minutes left, and I'm just hollering in my mind, just hollering from the scorer's table to get the young man a break, just so Tuesday night he's not playing his 118th, 119th, 120th minute. But it is what it is, man. There's one goal, and that's to cut down those nets on Tuesday night. Nick, what did you see from what you were able to glean from that other game? I was really impressed with Frankie Fiddler. I know the South Dakota State fans were probably a little nervous when they were down 6 late in the first half. Like, oh, man, we've been here before. But what did you see from the Jackrabbits? What did you ultimately see from a young budding superstar in Frankie Fiddler getting 34 as a true freshman?
It was impressive, especially it's always, you know, the 8 seed – some league tournament, you know.
Those 1-8, 2-7 games, 1-8-2, man.
It's just, you never know. Like, especially 2 years ago in 2020, you know, when Western Illinois takes them down as the 1 seed. Like, you never know. And, you know, Omaha, you know, if they're playing for their coach, you don't know if their coach is sticking around. They want to keep playing. They want to show, you know, that they want to show their worth. And I think, you know, they kept it interesting, just like Denver kept it interesting for a little bit against NDSU. But I think, you know, once SDSU, you know, was coming down the stretch, they kept a lot of their key players in there. I don't know if that was the right move there, but credit to Coach Hendo there for, you know, keeping the clamps down the stretch there.
Absolutely. Nate, we're going to keep these, just so people know, these are going to be 20-minute shows. You guys are used to 40-minute shows. These are going to be 20-minute shows because right now, as we're recording, there has been no more basketball played. We don't know whether North Dakota State's going to play Oral Roberts. We don't know whether North Dakota State's going to play Western Illinois. But what we'll do is at some point before Monday's game, when we know the opponent, we'll give you a 20-minute preview pod. And then after that game is over, you know, we'll give you another breakdown pod and then a preview pod for the championship game and so on and so forth. So we're going to keep this, you know, relatively simple or relatively succinct. Talk to me about Rocky Cruiser. How do you have a quiet 22? I think we both made that, you know, kind of made that comment where we looked up and it's like, man, Tyree's playing well. all right, we're getting a little something here from Sam, but you look at the scoreboard, and Rocky's by far and away the leading scorer.
Yeah, and he was really aggressive offensively. He started the game with a three, started the second half with a three. That was his two threes for the game.
They're both big.
And I talked to you during the game. I mean, there were a couple times when NDSU offense had a 2-3-4 minute dry spell. And,
yeah.
And Denver had no big guy to stay in front of Rocky from the perimeter, and he just blew by his guy a few times for layups. It was a quiet 22. I think he had spurts where he'd score 4 or 6 in a row, and then it kind of went away. But he was the rock that we needed. I mean, he was
for
7 for 13, sure. 2 for 5 from the three, had 6 boards. Thought he defended pretty well. They had some really good screen and roll action, getting KJ Hunt to his left hand, which makes it tough to guard, just keep him in front and get back to the roll guy. Denver obviously had a few lobs, but I think NDSU adjusted to that in the second half, forced a couple turnovers when they tried that lob, and he was really good defensively, really good offensively. 27 minutes was great. He was in a little bit of foul trouble there in the second half, but if he's knocking down threes and given what he gave offensively last night, they're going to be tough to beat.
They are. Yeah, they certainly are. And that's, you know, you just, I think the ultimate scare is you just know you're going to have to get to 80 against South Dakota State. And you can't go 4 minutes without a basket and get to 80. So, but that's putting the cart before the horse. Certainly here on a Sunday afternoon. And I want to close the show by talking a little bit about Bowden Skunberg and something that I think is really important. And that's, when a team like, this is not to discount what Jarius Cook has meant to the team, but we've seen it. When a team has two wings or two guards that can get going or do get going, and Coben Porter got going, he's going to be a good player in this league. Tevin Smith's going to be a good player in this league. Denver made, I think, a good coaching hire. I really do. I think they got a guy who's going to turn that thing around. Young group, good group. I was impressed with them. Coben Porter's going to be a good player in this league. When he got going and beat Jarius a couple times, they throw Bowden in there because Tyree or Bowden, whichever one, doesn't matter. But somebody has to guard KJ Hunt. I mean, that's the point, right? When you play Denver, you got to shut down KJ Hunt. Well, Bo comes in and does what Bowden does, and that's just guard the absolute hell out of another guard. What I saw, though, was he made a three, and I think he had missed 22 consecutive threes. This is a guy who had 48 in a high school basketball game. That's, I think it's 36 minutes, a high school game?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, that's getting buckets. This is a man who, you know, understands the ball going through the hoop. That three was so important because what we saw last night was his floater game. We've seen his pull-up game. And for teams to understand that you still do need to close out on Bowden Skunberg, that opens up the pull-up game. That opens up the floater game. And I think that makes him a much more dangerous offensive guy. Not that he's not a dangerous offensive guy, but in general, you just have to be concerned, I think, when he is on the floor and he's not, you know, and no disrespect to your guy, Corey Brown. He's not Corey Brown. You know, he come in and be a stopper. He gets the ball. You have to worry about that. Like you saw even South Dakota last year play a little bit of a zone, but once Des McKinney got the ball, just pretend he didn't, like, shoot it. We dare you. You cannot do that with Bowden Skunberg, and it was a big time deal to see that 1-3 go through the rim. The pull up three to put them to break the tie. I thought Dave was going to break his foot stomping on the ground. That's still kind of Bowden being Bowden.
Yeah, and you still have some of those tactics from high school and that mindset. But he's a scorer, and he's gotten on the floor because of the way he defends. And we've talked about it all year. His scoring is going to come. It's going to come at some point. And it doesn't need to be that he's a knockdown shooter as long as he isn't like the Corey Brown where they're literally not guarding him.
Right.
They're still closing out a little short on him and kind of forcing him to shoot a contested one. But if he can shoot that confidently and knock one down a game, it's only going to make him that much better. But what a defensive job he did. And obviously, Jarius had a little bit of a rough night on the defensive end, which only saw him getting 12 minutes. But there's going to be a game where we need Jarius to knock down a few shots.
Yeah, to hit three corner threes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Last night just wasn't one of those nights. And it's good that they have two guards that they can go to in those situations.
All right. Nick Cousin, KVRR, thanks for coming on, brother.
No problem.
Nate, thanks for your time. Thank you to Big Deck Barbecue. Check out Championship Gold. We're actually getting it into people's hands. People are loving it. Check out our guys at Herd and Horns. Have a phenomenal rest of your Sunday, folks. And go Bison. We'll be right back.